Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome aboard, everybody, on a Friday. Wait a second. It is Friday. Today's Friday. No question about it. Today is Friday. Lenny Melnick sitting right here in the cave. And we are rocking and rolling, ready to get rolling, so let's do it right away. A lot to talk about. We're going to skip the position battle, the rankings today, because, you know, it gets a little tedious every day. Can't do the same thing every day. So we got a whole bunch of stuff, including what is the effector? We'll introduce the effector officially, and we'll tell you all about it as we welcome Eric and Phil and Greg and Mark and a cast of thousands. First of all, just to get you caught up on what's happening in Major League Baseball, Yuleski Gurriel, one of the Cuban youngsters, the older one, the 31-year-old third baseman-type player, there's a chance he could be granted residency for what he did something over the summer. He met in some country and established residency. But the problem is that it may have been under the guidance of Scott Boras. So there's more to come on that one, okay? More to come on Scott Boras, okay? The question up on the website, on the chatter, by the way, is go to the chatter column. I got a question. We're going to give away a prize. Name the hitter who's hit more home runs against left-handed pitching from the year 2000 until 2015. The hitter who's hit more home runs against left-handed pitching from 2000 to 2015. As Michael Johnson joins us, we'll repeat that as we continue. A lot of talk about the Baltimore Orioles being interested in Dexter Fowler, who's the free agent. Also, a lot of talk in the Baltimore Orioles being, and this is talk, This is Major League Baseball chatter in Jay Bruce. The problem, though, they talk about, you know, they just throw these things out. You take a look at the Baltimore farm system, there's nobody to give up. There's nobody. Nobody. There's nobody to give up. You want to get Jay Bruce, you're not going to do it just by getting Jay Bruce. You got to give up some players. Jay Bruce is not a free agent. This is a trade. The Orioles have nothing to trade with. The Orioles farm system is pretty bad. Not as bad as Miami's, who, by the way, the Miami farm system is almost barren. But Keith Law writes that the Angels farm system is the worst farm system that he has ever analyzed. The worst farm is Andrea shows up. How you doing? Hey, nice to have you with us, okay? Just stay upstairs. Okay, anyway, Keith Law writes that there's an article up on the website that explains in a little greater detail about the fact that the Angels farm system is so bad, which leads me to the question, and I'll throw it out to the chat room, is there any way that it can be done that Mike Trout could get traded from the Angels, and what would they require in exchange for Mike Trout? Pretty interesting, okay? So if you have any ideas of what you think the Angels, we talked about this the other day, but now, you know, the Angel farm system is just awful. Unbelievable. And finally, I'm reading that Justin Verlander has made the final transition to a pitcher now from a thrower. He used to rely exclusively on that fastball, but what has happened is that the changeup is very effective. When the fastball velocity goes down, the changeup becomes less effective. The effectiveness, and this is not the effector, by the way, the effectiveness of the changeup is the difference between the fastball and the changeup. So with Verlander losing a little bit of velocity, he also lost the effectiveness of the changeup. So what did he do? He has switched now to the slider. And you know something, Justin Verlander is a smart guy. So with all of the good performances by Verlander at the end of the season and learning that he's made this kind of an adjustment, yeah, Justin Verlander is a pretty good pick. I'm beginning to like the Tigers a little bit more between Verlander and understanding Ryan Zimmerman, extreme ground ball pitcher, when he's got Iglesias and Kinsler up the middle with either Maben or Anthony Gose in center field. That's a pretty strong defense up the middle. So I will absolutely enjoy enjoy the Tigers this year, okay? What I won't enjoy, and here's where it comes to be, okay? Joel Sherman sparked me to get back into this. He wrote a column in the New York Post. I have it up on the website as well. Does it make any sense at all? Now, you know, saves has been a category in fantasy baseball for a long, long time. As you also know, I'm one of the people that say in the auction format, I will rarely spend money for saves. But that's fantasy baseball, okay? That's not even what this is about. So I was never enamored by the save category. I always felt it was a category that you could either punt or get, you know, without spending a lot of value in any format, as we welcome Jason, the natural. So I'm sitting here, and Andrea's in the chat room, okay? So I will give her the 100% credit. A couple of years ago, we're watching a game, and Joel Sherman comments on this. It's the seventh inning. It's a 2-1 game. The opposition has runners on second and third and one man out. Is this the time you're going to bring in your fourth best pitcher? Because it's the sixth or seventh inning. It's not time. Too long, the bullpens now have had designated slots. You know, the theory has always been, and these guys are a bunch of freaking millionaire babies, it's always been that everybody wants to know their job. Everybody's got to have a knowledge of what they're expected to do. The closer is the closer. The setup man comes in the eighth inning. Hopefully the closer comes in at the beginning of the ninth inning. God forbid a closer comes in with the bases loaded and one out, all right? Oh, they can't do that. They get all crazy, all right? And in the seventh inning, you got the setup. Then you got the long man. You got the seventh inning guy. It's just getting crazy. Joel Sherman writes in the column, and it reminds us, in the seventh inning or sixth inning, with the game on the line, why do you bring in your fourth best pitcher in the bullpen? It makes no sense. Absolutely makes no sense. You bring in the guy who can get you out of the seventh, then you worry about the eighth, and then you worry about the ninth. And if you take a look at Major League Baseball, you will be amazed to see what's going on. So that person, that you need, every team needs what we are going to call now the effector. Who is the pitcher that comes in with the game on the line? It doesn't matter if it's the seventh inning. Doesn't matter if it's the eighth inning. And it doesn't matter. If the game is on the line, and Andy came up with this with the emergence of Dellin Betances a couple of years ago, she said he's an effector. Right? She called Aroldis Chapman the effector. You bring in Aroldis Chapman with the you're winning 2-1. You got the bases loaded and one out. Who are you going to bring in? Sam LaClure? I mean, no, you bring in Sam LaClure, comes in, game over. End of the game, you don't need Chapman. Chapman can go home. You bring in Aroldis Chapman in the seventh inning. Why? Because you want to strike out, and then you want a fly ball. You want to strike out, then you want a ground ball. I mean, yeah, that's right. Aroldis was the first effector. That's right. So Andy came up with this. It's been talked about on talk shows after Andy came. I'll tell you something about Andrea. Forget about who she is and all that other stuff. She has come up with the Matt Harvey. For those of you who don't know, she predicted a month before that Matt Harvey would have Tommy John surgery based upon the recoil of his delivery after he throws the pitch. It's unbelievable. Now she's calling on the effector. And if you take a look at Major League Baseball, I mean, you got the Boston Red Sox, you got Kimbrel, you got Uehara, you got Tozawa, you got Carson Smith. Take a look at the Yankees, Chapman, Betances, and Miller. You take a look at Toronto. Toronto's got Ozuna. They got Storen. They got Cecil. They got Aaron Sanchez. Take a look at the White Sox, Robertson. They got Pedrika. They got Nate Jones. Cleveland has got Chamberlain. Who are these guys? Allen, Shaw. You got Soria, Wade Davis. You got Herrera in Kansas City. You got the Astros with Gregerson, Josh Fields. You got Giles. The point is, is that even in Oakland, Doolittle, Mattson, Axford, Seattle, Benoit, Cicek, or Ryan Cook, who had 14 saves in 2012. On and on you go. That's just the American League. Every team now is collecting closers. Every team in Major League Baseball is starting to collect closers. Every team has a closer in the bullpen, all right, outside of their regular closer. Every team, there are some teams, most teams have two and three closers in their bullpens. Why? Because with the game on the line, you're not going to wait for Melanson to come in. You're going to put Melanson in the seventh inning. Tony Watson, close it out, please. Okay? In Cincinnati, you got Jumbo Diaz. He come, no, Hoover, you want to shut it out, please? Maybe Cingrani, you want to shut it out, please? Familia, you want to shut it out? Reed, you want to shut it out? Mejia? I mean, it's unbelievable that every team, take a look at every team. I mean, even in L.A., you got Jansen, you got J.P. Howell, who had 17 saves in 2009. San Diego, Brandon Morrow, he came up as a closer. Quackenbush, Rodney. I can tell you almost every team. Even Atlanta, Vizcaino, Jimmy Johnson, Grilli, every team. Come on, people. This is what's going to happen. This is the closer. Yeah, well, the Mets do. They got Familia, they got Addison Reed, and they got Henry Mejia. So at least so they got the closers, they got the guys. So if I'm the New York Mets, Eric, seventh inning, bases loaded, men on second and third. Well, Bastardo wasn't really a closer, but I'm talking about a guy with you bring in Familia, and you want Addison Reed, you close out the game. When Henry Mejia stops doing what he's doing and gets off his suspension, maybe he closes out the game at the end. So these guys all have closer experience, and this is what's happening with the close. This is what's happening in Major League Baseball. It's pretty incredible, but this is what's happening in Major League Baseball with the saves. And what is that going to do in fantasy baseball? It's going to really make it crazy as to who we draft for saves, because the effector is going to be used in the sixth inning, maybe the seventh inning, and we don't know what's going to happen, okay? So it's pretty interesting to me that I think the save category, Milwaukee is going to have Jeremy Jeffers, Will Smith. There's guys on every team. St. Louis, Rosenthal, they got Broxton, they got Jordan Walden. I mean, come on, every single team, now Arizona, Ziegler and Clippert, every team has got, and why do they have all these closers? With the closer carousel going so quickly, every day there's a new closer, you have more and more guys who have experience closing with some success. So as a result, then of course this all started with Charlton Dibble and Randy Myers, the Nasty Boys or whatever they were called, all right? It started then. It really started back in the day when Mariano Rivera was the setup man to John Wetland. That's what started it all. Then the copycats, and then Kansas City comes through. And now it's evolving into the fact that we won't even know who the closers are. And as tough as it is to draft closers in fantasy baseball, there's going to come a time in the very near future where it's going to be impossible to draft them because we don't know who they are. That's it. And the secondary guys will have a lot more value, so there'll be money going. You'll be spending more money on Kevin Jepsen because you don't know about Perkins. So then you can't spend all the money on the Perkins. Then you got Benoit and Cishek and Ryan Cook. You're going to spend money on Cishek because he may get you some saves. Maybe Benoit get you saves. It's just all the way down the line. That's how it goes. Even Houston Street and Joe Smith and Fernando Salas. Remember when he was a Cardinal, he got saves. That's how it's going on in Major League Baseball, and it's going to affect. It's going to affect how we do it in fantasy baseball. Now the other thing, and this is like an offshoot. I find it very interesting what's going on in Toronto. And I know I've talked about this, and I'm taking the, Toronto is coming out and saying, we don't know who the closer is going to be. We don't know. We just don't know. And the closer will not be announced until the middle of spring training. Now, first of all, I'm not buying it. I think they, in their minds, they know who the closer is. Now, of course, the developments in spring training could very well make a difference, but I don't know. They've spent $8.8 million on Drew Storen. So Drew Storen, and I find it fascinating. So you don't spend $8.8 million on Storen and have him be the setup guy. I know, and he's on his last year. I don't think that's what happens. But you already have this kid Ozuna as being successful in the closer role. He had a phenomenal season closing out. He was absolutely done. Wait a second. Does this sound familiar? We're going to have a guy come in and replace the closer who has been successful, who's had a great season, coming off a good year. And that reminds me of somebody. As we welcome Andy into the chat room, nice to see Andy. So that it's unbelievable that this is happening. Why? Remember last year, there was a closer on a National League East team who had the most saves in one-run games than any other closer in baseball last year. And what happened to him? He was taken out of that position. What happened to the team? The team went down the tubes because of dissension in the clubhouse. It was just a crazy move. It really destroyed the atmosphere in the clubhouse. One of the boys, you know, doing great, loses his job. Drew Storen comes into the picture now in Toronto, and he may be replacing Ozuna. Had a great year. He doesn't deserve to be replaced. So it doesn't make any sense to me. You don't spend $8.8 million on a setup guy. It just doesn't happen. But so even though, you know, people say they don't know what to make of the Toronto bullpen, all right, get your pens and pencils and bloody fingers ready. I'm going to tell you exactly what's going to happen. And Andy's got, yeah, Andy, I'll tell you what, Andy's right on the ball there. You know, she puts it in the chat room. Here's what's going to happen in the Toronto bullpen unless something unforeseen occurs. The guy who goes into the rotation could be Ozuna. That's right. Now, if you promote Ozuna to the rotation, there's no way he's going to be angry. There's no way he's going to be disappointed. There's no way he's going to feel like Drew Storen felt last year. Hey, what did I do to lose my job, okay? Ozuna will say, hey, I know what I did to get a promotion. You know, they all think that starter money compared to closer money, that's what it is. So the question now becomes, okay, Ozuna would be very happy. Unlike Storen, who felt like he was demoted, Ozuna is going to say, hey, I'm promoted. And then he's going to go into the starting rotation. And that, I'll tell you something, you take a look at that Toronto rotation with Marcus Stroman and R.A. Dickey and Marco Estrada and J.A. Happ. And then you put Roberto Ozuna in there. I don't know what they're going to do with Hutchinson. I know they got Jesse Chavez. I know they got Gavin Floyd. So out of the group, they'll come up with a fifth starter. Maybe they'll trade R.A. Dickey to the National League. That seems to be. But they've got Ozuna. They've got Storen. They've got Brett Cecil. And they've got Aaron Sanchez. Four guys with closer ability. Now, so Ozuna gets promoted, a little different than Drew Storen getting demoted last year. So that'll satisfy him. Now, we also know that Aaron Sanchez has been tried out in the rotation and in the bullpen. He's been very successful in the bullpen. He's been awful in the rotation, but he's got so much promise. He looks so good. So here's what they're going to do with Aaron Sanchez. They're going to keep him in the bullpen, but they're going to make him the setup man to Drew Storen. And he'll get some saves, and maybe Storen comes in the seventh inning, and then Sanchez gets the saves. So, you know, as the effector. Maybe Storen becomes the Toronto effector because they know they can put him in the seventh, and if we get to the ninth, they can put Cecil in or they can put Sanchez in, but we got to put our best pitcher in the seventh. So here's what's going to happen to the Toronto bullpen, and I'm going to tell you right now. You can etch it in your kitchen table. that Roberto Ozuna becomes the fifth starter, that Aaron Sanchez becomes the setup man, and that Drew Storen becomes the closer, and Sanchez will get his opportunities to close as well, okay? That's what's going to happen. Etch it in your kitchen table. Etch it in your forehead so you don't forget it. And when you're drafting this year, don't hesitate like people are now about taking Drew Storen because he's going to be the man. Now, any questions? Any questions? Ozuna could be the effector. Yeah, well, I don't think they want him in the bullpen. All right, all right. Andrea wants to know what happened to Daniel Bar. Are you kidding me? I'll tell you one thing about Andy. She gets on a player and she just doesn't let it go. All right, Daniel Bard. I don't know where. I know he was just signed by somebody, but all right. Anyway, I don't know. We'll see what happens. So go to the website, read the Joel Sherman comment. Let me see if I can put it up there in the chat room. Yeah, oh, it's about the bullpen revolution. It's pretty interesting. I'll save you the trip to the chat room, to the thing. But go to the chatter column. Two things in the chatter column. Our leagues are filling up, and we may very well run two leagues, okay? Two 15-team mixed leagues. But you got to sign up. I mean, 15 teams, that's 30 teams. We already have, I think we only have like four or five slots left for the two leagues combined. Five slots. So get up to the chatter column. You can, that'll give you the link to the water cooler. Go right to the water cooler. Put your name in there. That's what you do. Sign up for the league, and you're in. That's it. It's going to fill, I'm telling you. And I don't want anybody. You see, I'm not taking any people. Not going to take a lot of guys who are not from the website. It's going to be guys who are in the website. So you have the opportunity. There are other people who have sent me, who have listened to the podcast, that have sent me emails with their names. But the truth is that of the 30 teams, it's going to be filled with people like you guys. If you want to be in it, from the chat room, people who are registered on the website, don't forget, register and introduce yourself, and you're in. And if we have to make three leagues, we'll make three leagues, okay? Yeah, so Daniel Bard's with the Pirates. Okay, Andy, if Daniel Bard does it, that will actually be better than your Matt Harvey prediction, okay, of having Tommy John surgery, which I thought could never ever be duplicated, okay? So if you want to be on there, that's great. Also, if you go to the chatter, I got a trivia question, and the question is, what player, some of you guys may have missed it at the beginning, what major league ball player has the most home runs against left-handed pitchers from 2010 to 2015, okay? So I put that up there on the chatter column. So that's open for grabs for anybody. And a prize, you know, not a big prize, just be something token of, just to show you how smart you are, okay? But do that, see if you can get it, and I'll tell you something, tell you the truth. I don't think anybody's going to get it. So I don't even, okay. Has anyone heard what's happening with Mark Burley? I haven't, but St. Louis has been very interested in Mark Burley, and okay, all right. So yeah, so Andrea hasn't posted the chatter column because she's too busy. Andrea does the technical work. I just do the, you know, I write the columns, I put the, you know, but without her, she's the brains of the family, no question about it. Okay, so let me just go over one other thing. Tomorrow, they're letting me back. Tomorrow I'll be on Sirius at 7 a.m., 7 to 8:30, and the same thing on Sunday, that Sirius 210 XM 87, so join me there. Now I'm taking a look at some of the players. I was going to do another show on this, but I don't know. Just I'm looking at the free agents for next year. Next year, and there doesn't seem to be, you got Edwin Encarnacion, who's going to be a free agent, and all they do in Toronto is talk about the fact that they want to sign Jose Bautista. There's not a lot of love for Troy Tulowitzki. I know Chata kind of challenged me. I said the other day that Tulowitzki was going to drive in 100 runs. Now, I know that it may not be in line with some of the things I've said about guys batting leadoff or batting second in an order. In the American League, it's a little different. And don't forget, even in the National League last year, Anthony Rizzo spent a lot of time in the number two hole, and he drove in 101 runs. And that was National League, okay? The American League is a little easier. A-Rod did it a couple of times with Seattle. Not an easy task, but I'm not going to say that it's not going to happen. I will only say that I doubt if Tulowitzki is going to bat leadoff, Chadha. I think he's going to bat in the two hole or even further down. I think Kevin Pillar looks like he may bat leadoff. So if that's the case, then Tulowitzki, I think, has a great and they're putting grass in, but the grass, it's not working, by the way, in Toronto. They got concrete, and they got grass growing over concrete. I have no idea how this is going to work. I wouldn't be surprised if the Toronto team has to move to Montreal or something, okay? So it doesn't make any sense. But they're not even thinking about signing Edwin Encarnacion. Remember when he came up with Cincinnati and he played third base? I fell in love with him then because he could steal 10 bases. Doesn't do that anymore. So Edwin Encarnacion is going to be one of the big guys. Don't forget, Mark Teixeira is age 37. Is he going to have any value on the free agent market? Could the Yankees actually, now I know with Greg Bird, they're thinking of signing, the Yankees are pretty close to signing Ike Davis, and I think that's a pretty good. With Greg Bird, and we may have talked about this or not, it doesn't, you know, I'm not concerned about Greg Bird for this year. I'm concerned about Greg Bird for next year. The fact that he could miss the whole season, this was going to be a season of his development, playing behind Teixeira, getting more time in AAA. So if you take the position that he's going to be out all season, it's pretty, you have to assume he's going to miss his developmental year, and it could affect him for next year big time. So I don't know what they're going to do. They're going to lose Teixeira. He's 37 years old. I don't think they're going to give him a qualifying offer. And the qualifying offer, as we talked yesterday about when Matt Wieters accepted the qualifying offer, there's some interesting guys on this list that may not get the qualifying offer. And that thing may even be renegotiated this year. So at second base, you know, next year there's only one player that's worth any. That's going to be Neil Walker. Absolutely Neil Walker, okay, as Jet9 has just logged in. Nice to have you with. Don't forget, you can always listen on iTunes. You can listen on Stitcher, or you can come to the website and listen. So there's other ways if you can't make it for the chat room. Or we love all you guys that are here, but you can always listen to us on Stitcher, on iTunes. The easiest way, just go to the website. There's a podcast section. It's really right on top. Just click it and listen. It even sounds better on the website, okay? But I think the most interesting for next year has to be Jonas Cespedes. I'm reading, you know, I keep searching for articles where it says from Cespedes, I always wanted to be a Met. I can't, oh boy, that's what I always want. I'm so happy. I am so happy I'm a Met. And from day one, that's really what I only wanted to be. I wanted to be a New York Met. So I'm loving it. I'm saving the articles because next year, if Cespedes hits 300 and hits 30 home runs and drives in 110 runs, where do you think he's going to be? He's going to be on the free agent market. He's gonna leave. Mr. Cespedes, who absolutely wants to be a Met, if he puts up the right numbers and thinks he can get a bigger, better contract, he's gone. So this is to me one of the biggest stories in baseball. All right, this year, the Cespedes year. I know last year was a great one, but I am just fascinated to see if he's a, you know, just another one of those. He should be a politician, okay? At shortstop, Eric Ibar. You got two veterans, Eric Ibar and Alcides Escobar. Two guys who are slowing down. All right. Andy got the link to get signed up for the fantasy league that I was talking about. So remember, only got a couple of spots there. So See if you can get yourself in there, and you may have to register and introduce yourself. And don't forget, when you register for the site, please introduce yourself. That's what the site is all about. You know, all the other stuff, the stuff that we write, the articles we put, that's not, you can get that anywhere. What you can't get is the introductions, because you'll see, this is our first year together. We're going to really be a community that really helps each other, even in DFS and in fantasy baseball, the whole thing. So, yeah, we'll get to the free agents from next year on another podcast, but I just wanted to go over that. And on Monday, we'll probably get into some of the tips that we have accumulated so far for your snake draft and your auction, emphasis on the snake draft. Thank you all for joining me today. Have a great weekend. Lenny Melnick at gmail.com.